This is The Reef, written by Edith Wharton, narrated by Anna Lee. Book 1. One.
Unexpected obstacle. Please don't come till 13th. Anna.
All the way from Charing Cross to Dover, the train had hammered the words of the telegram into George Darrow's ears, ringing every change of irony on its commonplace syllables, rattling them out like a discharge of musketry, letting them, one by one, drip slowly and coldly into his brain, or shaking, tossing, transposing them like the dice in some game of the gods of malice. And now, as he emerged from his compartment at the pier and stood facing the windswept platform and the angry sea beyond, they leapt out at him as if from the crest of the waves, stung and blinded him with a fresh fury of derision.
Unexpected obstacle. Please don't come till 13th. Anna.
She had put him off at the very last moment, and for the second time, put him off with all her sweet reasonableness, and for one of her usual good reasons. He was certain that this reason, like the other, the visit of her husband's uncle's widow, would be good. But it was that very certainty which chilled him. The fact of her dealing so reasonably with their case shed an ironic light on the idea that there had been any exceptional warmth in the greeting she had given him after their 12 years apart. They had found each other again, in London, some 3 months previously, at a dinner at the American Embassy. And when she had caught sight of him, her smile had been like a red rose pinned on her widow's mourning. He still felt the throb of surprise with which, among the stereotyped faces of the season's diners, he had come upon her unexpected face, with the dark hair banded above grave eyes, eyes in which he had recognized every little curve and shadow as he would have recognized, after half a lifetime, the details of a room he had played in as a child. And as, in the plume starred crowd, she had stood out for him, slender, secluded, and different. So he had felt, the instant their glances met, that he as sharply detached himself for her. All that and more her smile had said not merely, "I remember," but, "I remember just what you remember." Almost, indeed, as though her memory had aided his, her glance flung back on their recaptured moment its morning brightness. Certainly, when their distracted ambassadress, with the cry, "Oh, you know, Mrs. Leith, that's perfect, for General Farnham has failed me," had waved them together for the march to the dining room. Darrow had felt a slight pressure on the arm on his, a pressure faintly but unmistakably emphasizing the exclamation.
"Isn't it wonderful? In London? In the season? In a mob?"
Little enough on the part of most women, but it was a sign of Mrs. Leith's quality that every movement, every syllable, told with her. Even in the old days, as an intent, grave-eyed girl, she had seldom misplaced her light strokes, and Darrow, on meeting her again, had immediately felt how much finer and surer an instrument of expression she had become. Their evening together had been a long confirmation of this feeling. She had talked to him, shyly yet frankly, of what had happened to her during the years when they had so strangely failed to meet. She had told him of her marriage to Fraser Leith, and of her subsequent life in France, where her husband's mother, left a widow in his youth, had been remarried to the Marquis de Chantelle, and where, partly in consequence of this second union, the son had permanently settled himself. She had spoken also, with an intense eagerness of affection, of her little girl Effie, who was now 9 years old, and, in a strain hardly less tender, of Owen Leith, the charming, clever young stepson whom her husband's death had left to her for care. A porter, stumbling against Darrow's bags, roused him to the fact that he still obstructed the platform, inert and encumbering as his luggage.
"Crossing, sir?"
Was he crossing? He really didn't know, but for lack of any more compelling impulse, he followed the porter to the luggage van, singled out his property, and turned to march behind it down the gangway. As the fierce wind shouldered him, building up a...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?